Hi, I'm Melinda Marks, Senior Analyst at ESG, covering cloud and application security, and I'm thrilled to be here with Vandana Verma. Vandana, great to be here with you today.
Hi, Melinda. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into cybersecurity. Like, where are you from and how you got into cybersecurity?
Sure. Currently, I'm working at Snyk, which is a software security company. I'm working from India, first employee working in India. So we'll be helping the team setting up things in India. Apart from that, I root for pro bono work, where I work with OWASP, which is Open Web Application Security Project, an open source non-profit organization or a foundation, where I'm serving as a chair, first Asian, first Indian, and first woman, which makes me feel proud and happy. Apart from that, I run certain diversity initiatives. So we have InfoSec diversity. We have something for anyone who wants to know about it. Then we have something for InfoSec girls, where we can bring more women to cybersecurity. And that's how we started off. And then during the pandemic, we realized that cybersecurity is important for parents and kids as well.
Yes, definitely. And this is actually how I found you. I was so excited to see that there's a woman chair of OWASP, and OWASP is such a great organization. They have so many wonderful events for web application security. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in OWASP and what types of things did you do originally, and then how did you become the chair of the board?
Sure. When I started off with OWASP, it was just that I knew about it as OWASP testing guide or a top 10. During one of the trainings, I got to connect with OWASP Bangalore chapter lead. So I started going to the local meetups that happen in India, and I realized that it's not just a book or a website, it's a community of people. There are so many projects that are there. In 2016 or late 15, the leader asked me to step up as a chapter leader for OWASP Bangalore. I became a chapter leader for OWASP Bangalore, and then OWASP was coming up with Women in AppSec. So when we were starting off with Women in AppSec, I started from the inception. After that, I proposed certain free trainings at OWASP so that more and more diverse people can join us. And those trainings were free, so
Great.
anyone can join. So we delivered the training in London, multiple places at US, global conferences of OWASP, Israel, and multiple other places in India as well. In 2019, I was asked to be a keynote speaker for OWASP AppSec DC, which was happening in Washington, DC. That was one of the showstopper for me. A nervous feeling, an excited feeling. After that, I filed for nomination at the OWASP Global Board. But that was not my idea. All my friends said that at least people know you at OWASP, so you should try.
That's so
And then,
wonderful.
yeah, and there was half of the people who said, "Oh, you've never tried. Do you think, or an Indian has never tried? Do you think you would be able to do it, or is it the right time to do it? You're a mother. You have to take care of family, your work. Would you be able to do it?" The other half said, "What would you do? You don't want to do it?" I said, "Yes, I want to give it a try." I gave it a try. A lot of people rooted for me. I still have those recommendations in my bio of the first time I did, and I won with the highest votes.
Oh, that's so great. What got you first interested in cybersecurity? Like, tell us about your education and, how you learned about cybersecurity and decided to get into this field.
I joined this organization as a network security person, but they said, "We are looking for people in application security, and we have an open role. You should join us in that role." They gave me 3 months to prepare and start off with the project. So that was a time which was very challenging, but I think that was the best decision I took at that time. Later on, I realized the passion that I have for information security and took it very seriously to build my a professional career around it. My first project was around Security Operations Center. So I was into complete 24 cross 7 shifts, doing the night shifts. People say that, especially in India, multiple places, night shifts were avoided by girls for various reasons. Now, in my company, they had no choice but to keep me on the night shift as the client wanted interactions with SMEs all the time. So I became the vulnerability management lead in a very short span of time. There, I gained a lot of interaction with clients, managed the whole vulnerability management program, being part of the PCI audits, which is payment card industry audits, But the most important bargain was I got to have weekends off.
And what about the field of it in and of itself really excites you? Because I know, you know, when I think about cybersecurity, I like to think of we're doing things to help protect people from their data being stolen or whatever. What types of things excite you?
So over the years, if I have to say, the mindset of everyone around the information security strata has torrentially evolved. Mm-hmm. Initially, there wasn't much involvement and exposure for people around it because people were not aware about it. Now they know, even everyone, the person at home to the person working in office, even a security guard knows about it, that there's something called security that I need to have. Mm-hmm. It's talked about in the news. Even in colleges, there are degrees that are being provided around cybersecurity. So that's very, very interesting to see that how it's growing up. Because when we were part of it, we were not aware that there can be a career that can be built around it. Mm-hmm. Now, when there are degrees around it, and even it's more important now when more gadgets and more things are coming up. Like we have smart devices at home. We want everything on the go. But at the same time, security is very, very important for those things.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like people are understanding that more and more, like, you know, they do need to be careful before connecting to just anything?
Absolutely. There is some awareness which is there. Mm-hmm. I feel that there's more awareness that is needed. And that's why communities are there to help. And communities need to grow out, not just for the technological companies or technology people, but for the people who don't know about it. Mm-hmm. Think about the person who's retired. How can they know about it? The simple things, simple steps. I think those are needed. People are taking steps towards it. Countries are taking steps toward it. Mm-hmm. Organizations are taking steps towards educating people, going out as a CSR activity. Probably it's going to be better in the coming future.
That's great. And I'm sure it's, you know, thanks to initiatives like yours, where you're trying to broaden the education and build communities. So it's really great to hear. Now, in your career, have you ever encountered any challenges that you came across that were just a little discouraging? And on the other side, were there things that really helped pull you out of it? Or, you know, how did you deal with those challenges?
So the first thing was my own misconceptions, whether I can do it or not. Mm-hmm. Because there are challenges which are there. There are some cultural challenges. There are certain set boundaries that are there in which we have grown. Those things are very, very hard to avoid or to overcome. When those challenges were there, those cultural challenges, I started asking for help, mm-hmm. which helped me. I never moved out of my house for anything. Even for my degree, it was just near my house. But when I got my first project, my first role in one of the IT companies, I asked my parents that I want to leave the city and work in a different city altogether for my work. Mm-hmm. It was a time when I was thinking they might said no, but I asked. They said, yes, it's fine. That gave me the wings to fly. That was the first thing. Then being part of the community was my decision, switching the jobs, then taking care of family while working. That was my decision. And I remember one of the cases where in 2015, when my kid was born, I had so many things in my mind, whether I'll come back to work or not, what will happen, or they'll throw me out of the company, and so many weird thoughts I had. But when I came back from maternity, just after 3 months, I got my first promotion. Mm-hmm. So these are the things I think we all have where we don't ask for help. Mm-hmm. We don't ask for what we deserve. Mm-hmm. I'm sure for everyone, there are certain challenges that have been there, could be cultural, could be any other. But once you start asking for help, it becomes easier.
Awesome. And you're involved in a lot of diversity initiatives. Can you tell us about that? What are you doing and why is it so important to you?
When I started off, I realized that there are very, very few women which are part of information security. Mm-hmm. I used to be one in the team. Mm-hmm. Very, very few women. Now, one reason could be it's a niche skill, which people say. Another is a culture, that night shifts and something that you have to be on toes. Sometimes when we see people who we don't know, we feel left out or out of the place. It can be difficult to be part of it. Like if there are 10 men and then you're the only woman. I have seen women getting uncomfortable in the group of women from different cultures, when you start being part of the community, you realize that, yes, if you can do it, then other women can also do it. Other people can also do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you start getting motivated. So there are sometimes you self-motivate. So with InfoSec Girls, we had the idea to give a safe space for women
mm-hmm.
where they can begin getting interested in information security. Mm-hmm. The next point was, given that there were very few existing women, so how do we increase the number and we keep them?
Mm-hmm.
So we began converting inactive people to active ones. We approached colleges, to students, to everyone around, and we started giving technical trainings. How to train them is the most important aspect. When you have those skills, you can perform anywhere. So all the training that we provided or I provided was free of charge in order to attract more people from diverse backgrounds.
Nice.
If I can do it, I'm sure anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the power is. And now everyone has started to speaking about the diverse communities, diverse ideas, because this is something which is creating new vision for the industry.
Absolutely. How can people get involved, or how can they connect with the community? You know, for us, we really want to share a lot of resources. So do you have any tips for others to get involved and to help others, or to talk to ourselves and network? What's your advice and any thoughts on resources that people should check out?
Absolutely. If you want to be part of any community, the first thing is look out for any community of your interest near your area. All the information is there on the social media. If there's nothing that you find that interests you, you can start the community. But remember, you have the time and the energy to sustain that. I have seen the community which are coming up, but then dying the slow death because mm-hmm. the people don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a one-person job. It's an army that is needed to build a community. Similarly, there are multiple initiatives which are there around the world. You can pick up the ideas from there and start getting motivated. It's not just that the country specific initiative is going to help you. No, now everything is global. I am connected with people in VSIS, InfoSec Girls, InfoSec Diversity, WISME, which is in Middle East, to AWSN in Australia. Mm-hmm. So all these people have made me learn something new. These communities have made me learn something new. I've been part of not just OWASP, but many other communities. So now you need to remember what interests you the most. Anything and everything is there on the social media. If you don't find, you know where to reach me.
Great. Thanks so much. Any other advice? Well, as we wrap up the show, we're going to share all those resources in a short blog post along with this podcast so people can go check it out and connect with you. But any other advice that you have as we wrap this up?
So the information security domain can be glamorous yet tiring at times. The key to focus constantly on how security can be improved by learning and applying the necessary skills. Remember that. Everything else, such as career advancements, will fall into place. One should always consider giving something back to the community by way of teaching, writing blogs, or just a small snippet of your video. There are wonderful free and open communities around the world. Take help from it, contribute to them. Trust me, it does help. It has taken me to places. I never thought that being a small-town girl can be part of a tech company to be on the global board of OWASP. They changed the title just for me. It was chairman. They changed the title to chair. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Bravo. Well, we are so inspired by your story. And I hope that I get to see you in person at one of these upcoming conferences, because you're just so wonderful. And congratulations for all your achievements. And we're so thrilled to have had you on this show today for Women in Cybersecurity. So thanks for joining, and we'll post a blog with all of these resources, and make sure you follow our program for more great stories from inspiring women in cybersecurity and all of their great achievements.